Hello and welcome to Going Native number 48. Three times a year, the ISO CPP committee gets together and has a shindig, and we'd like to bring you guys the sort of like post what happened in that meeting. And so the Jacksonville meeting just wrapped up last week in Jacksonville, Florida. And so today we're gonna just tell you all about what happened. Welcome to Going Native 48. We have with us today Gabriel Dos Reis, as always, and today Neil McIntosh, who were both members of the Wild and Crazy Spring Break Party at the ISO CPP meeting in Jacksonville, Florida. Can you tell us all about that today, guys?
So this is the second time you're attending the meeting, so can you tell us a bit?
Yeah, tell us about all the fun that you guys had.
Sure. It was a super exciting meeting. They were in sunny Jacksonville, beautiful warm weather, much more pleasant than the Northwest at this time of year. There was a lot of discussion, a lot of passion, and a lot of exciting new features coming out for C++ in the future. So some of the big hitters that we discussed while we were there were coroutines, concepts, modules, a unified function call syntax, ranges, parallelism, file system.
Operator dot and a few other stuff.
Operator dot.
Yeah,
cool.
A ton of stuff got discussed.
All right. So from my view here back in Redmond and the internet, it seemed like this was a fairly exciting and maybe even a little controversial, the meeting?
Yeah, Sunday morning I looked at Reddit and it looked like it was on fire. And the blogosphere was in kind of civil war. What happens was quite surprising. I'm pretty sure Neil doesn't remember what he did.
Right. No idea at all.
Back on the spring break theme. Right.
So just to give you a historical perspective, when we released C++ 11, we told the community, well, we're going to have another release in 3 years. It's going to be a bug fix. And it was. C++14 was little bug fix related to C++11, and we also promised the community, you know, the big features are going to come in 17. And we were in Jacksonville to, you know, vote on all the features that we wanted to have in 17, and it was very surprising. We have good stuff, a lot of good stuff. The only problem is that they are in TSS, technical specifications. And then we have some, you know, let's say minor new language features in the standard. So in the end, we end up with C++17 being downgraded from major to minor. No. That being said, we still have a lot of good stuff in library, right?
Right. So the TS doesn't mean that like it's nothing. It's like everybody, people will implement these things and.
So yeah, so the technical specifications usually are, you know, some kind of announcement to the community saying, well, this is what the committee is considering, and if you want to implement this stuff, this is how we think you should be doing it, and we would like to have feedback, you know, your experience, user and implementation experience, and give us feedback. The problem is that in many places, just having something in the TS is not sufficient. It is good to get some experimental experience, but many places will require that you actually have an ISO standard, and that's the problem.
Right.
I think someone like Yanni, who has been, you know, building a community for about 40 years, has been consistently telling people, yeah, we have the standard plus these TSs. The trouble is that that's not catching up. It's not because he's not good at it. He is a very good seller, right? But people are not believing that message. That's why people are very, very angry.
But I think our call to action on this one is going to be like, basically, don't treat the TSs like they don't exist, right? The thing that we need from the community of C++ developers is experience using these things. Different vendors are going to implement different TSs, and anything that people can do to, if you're passionate about getting things to move from that TS process into the standard itself. It's that feedback from the community on the usage of these things that's really going to drive that.
You're absolutely right, Steve. No, the TSs, they're not nothing. They're something. They're the product. You know, if you take Concept, for example, I've been part of the,
Concepts?
Yeah, Concept. I've been part of the development for a while. It was reviewed extensively by the core working group, and there is an implementation in GCC, right? You know, you can just go download GCC 6 something and just try it out. the what we expect is effectively that, you know, programmers go and download and use these TSS and give us feedback so that when times come, we want to integrate these technical specifications into the main standard. We know right. what need to be fixed and that kind of stuff. So it is extremely useful.
And there is actually a good prior example of that happening, right? So if you look at like UniquePutter, that came out in a TR, mm-hmm. which was like the predecessor, the ancestor
technical
of a
report,
TS,
right?
A technical report yes. in this case. And there it is in the standard today, and people used it and gave feedback. If we look at the Library Fundamentals TS version 1, a lot of people have tried that out and given really good feedback.
And that actually voted in.
And that will go in according to the Jacksonville vote. So yeah, so I think there is a good precedent for people picking these things up and using them.
All right, so let's start by going through what our like new TSs are. So I would guess your most favoritist one was modules, I'm gonna guess.
That one we knew.
You're the editor of it. Is that the right
yeah.
terminology?
Yes, okay. We knew after the Kona meeting that it was headed to a TS. But we didn't have any vote, and the committee actually voted formally. So, okay, this one is going into
and we did a whole topic on that one, so I don't think we need to go into
that's
or
right.
we did a whole going native on it.
And I'll be the editor for that technical specification.
Coroutines,
okay. That one was actually interesting. We were expecting this to go into the standard, and at the last minute, we got a lot of people concerned. And this is actually something I would like to call out, that Microsoft voluntarily proposed to move the coroutines not into the standard, but into TS, so that you know we can you know list them and look at all the concerns that people had. This is a place where I was quite you know. Pleasantly surprised by the you know the action that the Microsoft delegation took.
Got it. And so is Gore going to be the editor?
Yeah,
that?
So that one naturally, usually what we do when we have a new TS is to appoint the guy who has been behind the proposal to be
right.
the technical project editor. So Gore most likely is going to be the project editor. So he has more work to do.
And we've got, and again, we have a Going Native episode on that. So if you're interested in coroutines, which are great for asynchronous programming, you'll want to check out that episode. And we actually have an implementation of that as we have a partial, should I describe it as a partial implementation of modules or full?
Well, so modules in update 2, as people will get by the time the video is out.
Almost out.
Yeah.
RC,
yeah,
the RC
that's
will
right.
be
out. So we still have problems with templates, hiding template. That's because of existing issues
right.
we have.
Yeah, but we have a pretty full implementation
that's
of coroutines
that's correct,
in a
yes.
way. Okay, so next up, concepts.
So concepts are not new to the TS. The status that they were TSs that we developed in 2015, it was formally published sometime in October, but it was complete early 2015. And the expectation was that it would go into C++ 17. That's why people were so, disappointed.
That one was certainly the one that seemed to generate the most
angst. Yes, the general expectation was that it would go into the standard. You know, there is a complete implementation in the GNU compiler collection, GCC 6.0.
Right, and Andrew Sutton did that.
Andrew Sutton did that. He worked very, very hard on that, and he's still working on it, yeah. And Jason Muriel, who is the principal maintainer of the GNU compiler, took over to push it into main branch. So I mean, he deserved kudos. He was extremely helpful.
Okay, and concepts is useful for generic programming. And if you want to check that out, we really actually do recommend that you go download
that's
GCC,
right.
kick those
So
tires.
Eric Niebler's work on Rangers is based on the concept implementation GCC. Something actually interesting happened, and I learned when I was there. Beeman Dawes, who is the founder of Boost, told me that they had a proposal at Jacksonville on iterator facade, which is the way of fabricating new iterators out of very simple inputs. And he said that he developed this specification with Eric Niebler, and it was implemented by Casey Carter, who now works in the Visual C++ team.
Welcome, Casey.
Yes, and he did that work before, prior to joining the team. And,
yep.
and something that Beeman told me was quite interesting is that they tried to do this thing with that concept, right? And this was tried by the brightest minds, Doug Gregor and Dave Abrahams, using Sphinetrix. And in the end, they were not happy with the results, and it didn't get into C++ 11. Right, but with the concept implementation GCC, they were actually able to implement this very quickly.
Cool.
So This is an example.
It's really powerful.
Yeah, it's really powerful.
Okay, so then you briefly touched on ranges there. I think that's next on our list of TSs to talk about.
Okay, so ranges were, we also knew they were going into TSs after Kona, and Eric Niebler would be...
He'll be the editor for that.
That's right, yes. Interesting thing here is that when you look at language design evolution, you look at big picture, what enables the next big paradigm, and that's what concepts are about, and ranges just show that, and they were... A couple of proposals. One on static reflection that was using concepts. It was just fantastic. That one is also moving. And then the other one is...
So this is sort of interesting. We're talking about like the TSs actually have hard dependencies. There's DAG.
That's creating a problem. And for people like us who worried about deploying tools to developers, it is a problem, right? Because now you have these DAG dependencies on TSs. Yeah. And it is much simpler when it is in the standard.
Right, so if you want to use concepts, you have to use GCC. If you want to use ranges, there's Eric Niebler's implementation. Yeah. We're looking at ranges. We don't have a concepts implementation at this point, but ranges is one that we've started to look at. Mm-hmm. Breaking news. Okay, no. All right, so so that's TSs. Are there any other TSs we should be talking about other than the ones that got voted into the standard?
No, that's basically all.
Yeah. All right, so now let's start talking about things that we can now safely say that you will have standardized by C++ 17. So the first thing on our list, I think, is constexpr, the third thing for constexpr. So I think we added lambdas, right? More lambdas for constexpr.
That's right. So now we have constexpr lambda. Essentially, you can create a lambda object as a constexpr object with initialize being a lambda. And on our site that we didn't get it in 14.
Now, I see.
Everybody is happy and it's cool.
Yes, eventually your entire program will be computed at compile time.
That's right. Compile time, main constexpr.
I think there are also three new attributes added.
So now we have three new attributes. That's an interesting point about C++ 17. We're having a lot of attributes. So we had attributes on enums and namespaces. Now we have three new attributes. They're actually very useful.
And the other ones were places that you could put attributes that you couldn't before. These are actually defined new meaningful attributes.
And it is actually something that's very useful in the domain. So Neil's domain where... So the first thing is, if you call a function and the caller shouldn't ignore the return value, you want to actually say no discard in the definition so that the analysis tool can actually tell you,
language support for making the static analysis better, you must have been thrilled.
Yes.
Great.
And the second is, with switches, we have a lot of, things written about switches. If you have case statement, and then you want to follow through, it's better to say that explicitly than just,
nine times out of 10, it's a bug.
That's
and
right.
This other 10th time, now you can label it explicitly.
And he will tell you, please don't do that. Don't do that. And then the third is just if you don't use an object or a parameter in the scope, you just want to annotate that's maybe unused.
And, okay.
This is just to ensure that, Rye, so this in connection with Rye, a Rye object, you create an object and it's supposed to do some action on exit and just to ensure that things that are Rye and it's not Rye.
And if you're thinking about it in terms of a broader, it's about encoding your intent to the code using attributes actually explicitly, so tools can do a better job.
Exactly. And what's interesting is both our compiler and other compilers have had pragmas and all sorts of extension keywords for indicating some of these things in the past. It's really nice that we now have a portable syntax for indicating your intent this way, mm-hmm. that things like static analysis tools and the compiler can leverage to provide better diagnostics.
Yeah, the attribute, because if your program is correct, you can erase them, can remove them from your program, but we still have the same semantics.
Okay, we've got extended aggregating initializers.
Oh. Yes. Okay. So, what is this about? In C++, especially C++ 11 and up, we tell people use types. Introduce types in your program. So, what happens when you have a class that has constructors and then you derive from it just to add some new type, but nothing really fundamental. It's painful to have to rewrite all the constructors to forward them to the base class. It's just insane. We have this notion of forwarding constructors, but painful to use.
Yeah.
So the idea is if you derive from a class, do not add any data member. You don't need to add constructors. You can just use the brace initializer syntax, and it will initialize everything properly,
right,
as if you had all the base class constructors in derived class. And that's
and
really,
less
really
code
useful.
Is less mistakes.
That's right, yeah. So the thing you have to ask yourself when you're writing constructors in derived class is, are you adding value? If you are not, then just rely on this cool stuff.
All right, two more of these, and then we can skip to libraries where Neil can show. All right, Sentinel iterators.
Oh, okay, so this one is actually interesting. Now we have the range for loop, and so as part of Eric Nibler's work, he realized that, there is a specification in the language that says that the begin and end iterator must have the same type. And that's just a mistake, and that was fixed. That's what it's about. It allows you to have several type of iterators. You can have iterator predicates, iterator sentinel value to look at the end of your iteration.
Got it. So it makes the range for loop
much
paradigm
better.
More powerful.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Hex floats. I guess I can guess what that one is.
Well, you can write floating point with hex notation.
Okay.
Yay!
All right. More encoded constants. Love it. All right. On to the libraries. So I think we're going to start with TSs that got voted into the standard. What TSs got voted into the standard?
Right. So we had two. There was the parallelism TS.
So give me an example of like what's in that one.
There's a bunch of extensions around how you indicate, for instance, that you'd like your iteration over a range decomposed. You know, do you want this to be flung out across multiple processes? Does this thing have to be sequential, or can it be broken up and executed efficiently
an
across
example
a bunch?
Is, you want to sort.
And I think we have an implementation of this one, right?
Yes.
I remember one of my very first episodes of Going Native was also on this topic, so we should get a link of that going in the bottom here. Arthur Laxberg's episode of Going Native, where we talked about the parallel STL and the ability to like vectorize or parallelize these simple algorithms.
So that was so successful, it made it to the big time.
All right, go Archer.
Yeah. The library fundamentals TS V1 is the next one that made it in. So that's got it's a bunch of general library types, but includes some crowd favorites like any and
yes,
optional.
Right. And those are very similar to the Boost implementations there.
Close enough. Yes. Yep. No. The.
So if you've used those via Boost, you can change the namespace and you're good to go.
And your
course. There are small differences, but they're very technical.
Okay.
Yes. StringView is another one that's going in. Mm-hmm. So StringView is like a lightweight view wrapper over basic string.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Is one way to think about it. So it's tremendously useful rather than passing around heavyweight string types or exposing the type of string types you're using. Pass around views, get higher performance, and so on.
See if we can add one more string type.
That's right. So I'll insert the plug here. I did also bring a proposal for another string view-like type called string span, and that it was discussed and is on track for a future TS.
Which that's the V3 one or a separate one?
Fundamentals TS V3, which will come out after C++ 17.
Okay.
So I think that's all I can think of that's notable.
Yeah, and then we have the, of course, you can't have any TS without polymorphic allocators. So we have
it. Polymorphic allocators, allocators galore.
Yes. And then you can also make SharePoint work with array notation T brackets without bound. So that one from.
Okay. So some good core useful stuff in there. And another one that, and so. Where can you get implementations of that one if you want to play with it?
I think Boost.
Yes. Yeah.
Just use the Boost version, basically. Yeah. Okay. And do we know what GCC, does GCC have?
Oh, yeah. GCC has it.
Okay. And next is file system.
Oh, yes. File system, finally.
Right.
Sorry. We're in 2016, and we found it fantastic that we can now talk about file system.
I was gonna say, like, one of my job functions as the manager of the team is to like go and explain to people who are not necessarily C++ developers, like, no, that's like a new thing.
Yes.
Like, yeah. And we have an implementation of this.
Yes,
one.
We do. Yes,
and path stuff.
And we have been shipping for a while, you know, consistently. You know,
right. So eventually, we'll get to whack the experimental off of the namespace, we'll all high five. Yeah.
That's great.
All right, who wants to talk about special math?
Special math is a very interesting beast. They are called special math, but there is nothing really special about them, and that just scares people away.
Okay,
and
so what would you call them?
Ordinary math functions.
Ordinary math. I don't know what school is like in France, Gabby, but this is not ordinary math from where
so
I...
So says the math guy. Right?
So they were actually not in ETS, but in a natural international standard that was produced by WG21 back in 2005. At the time, people were concerned about, you know, implementation cost, that kind of stuff. And we had the experience, it turns out, they're not that difficult, you know. And they're used by a lot of folks, statisticians, people doing number crunching, you know, data analysis, that, you know, it's just...
Okay, so, like, what's in there? Like, what are the names? Like,
there's Bessel functions and... Legendre,
math is hard.
Yeah, it turns out.
Barbie was right.
I can tell you, we have eight of them. And
for our viewers who like to do, scientific applications and finance stuff, you're excited.
The elliptic functions and Bessel functions are there. So it's normal function.
Okay, great.
So they get voted in, and the interesting thing is, and again, Microsoft used to oppose this, but for Jacksonville, now came out and said, well, no, look, the larger C++ community find this useful, and we should let them have it. And I think that's quite a good thing to do, and I would love to see that more often in the committee, where, you know, we vote not just based on our limited organization, but consider the usefulness to the larger C++ community.
Got it. Okay, so if somebody wants to play with special math, where's the best place for them
so
to do
GCC
that?
Has an implementation. Boost has an implementation that has a very permissive license, so we can actually get it from
so there's
Boost.
Actually a couple of different places.
Oh, yes, definitely. And I should say that Zincomware also licensed an implementation and has been doing so for at least 10 years now.
Okay, great. All right, so let's talk about what's next. Pronounce the name of the place in Finland for me, please.
Oulu.
Oulu, okay.
Yes. So Oulu is a very nice town in Finland, not too far from the Arctic Circle. And we're going to have this meeting around the solstice in June. So we usually have evening meetings. We had a lot of evening meetings, and we are not going to have evening meetings in Oulu.
Because you guys will be so partying, or no?
Well, it won't be night, so...
Oh, I see. By actually removing the concept of night from Finland, you have solved that problem. I appreciate that. All right, cool. Okay, so calls to action. Whenever we do one of these episodes, we always tell people how to get involved with the committee. Let's tell people how to get involved with the committee
Please, now, what we need you to do is to go download GCC. Yes, I'm telling you, I work for Microsoft. I'm telling you, go and download GCC. That's fine.
That's right. I'm sorry, I'm stopping your paycheck. No, it's good. It's true. GCC, go.
Yeah, and try concept. Try out. And download Visual C++ and try out modules. It's very important. Give us feedback.
Coroutines.
Yeah, coroutines, mm-hmm. Yes. Modules, coroutines. What else do we need?
Try out the new library TSS.
Yes, the new library TSS, that's right. And Neil has implementations of Span and Span View. And
which one on GitHub. V3, is that? Are those all in
They're going to TS, I don't exactly know, V3, yes. And please try them. These actually came out of real needs. And he's the guy, if you find bugs, send him an email, not me.
Neil Mack.
Right. Thanks, yeah.
All right.
And implementers, please do consider the benefit to the larger C++ community and let's help the C++ community grow and grow faster and be strong.
And if you actually want to attend meetings, it's like go to the ISOCPP page.
That's right. And go to ISOCPP.org and you'll find information on the next meeting, where it is, and then hotel arrangement, that kind of stuff.
And we understand that not everybody has the bandwidth to actually participate in that process, but actually using the bits and giving feedback to the implementers and the editors is absolutely
fundamental.
Invaluable.
Yeah, if you want the next version after C++ 17 to have all the things that we missed, please try these TSUs and give us feedback.
All righty. See you guys after Ulu. Okay, I hope you guys found that informative. We're always looking for feedback on making these videos better, so feel free to leave that feedback in the usual places. We're really serious. We want you guys to go out there and try out all these new features and give us the feedback so that we can help make the standard better.